I'm at the Foreman booth and I'm talking to
Greg Sutcliffe.
Can you tell me what Foreman is?
Sure. So Foreman's a lifecycle management system. It aims to help you deal with the whole of the operations necessary to manage your servers. That could be physical servers, that could be virtual servers. So that's not just configuration management, but also provisioning, integrating with services like DNS, DHCP, maybe IPMI, BMC stuff, whatever you need to get into in order to bring your servers up, get an OS on the disk, up and running into your infrastructure, monitor them over time, and eventually deprovision them again at the end.
So why would I even need this when we've got the cloud?
Well, we can talk to the cloud. That's absolutely fine. We can talk to physical systems. We can talk to physical-like systems, such as Overt here next to us, or you know VMware or Libvirt. But we can also talk to EC2, DigitalOcean, Rackspace, GCE. If all you want to do is spin up an image, that's fine. But that's not part of your infrastructure yet. You can spin up 1,000 servers, and they're useless to you until they're doing some work. That means you've got to get your application on there. You want to get it maybe hooked up to Puppet or Ansible. So there's some one-time steps that need to happen. And you want to also monitor that, right? You want to see those Puppet reports coming back and have a nice front end to that. So you can see what's happening in your infrastructure and find out whether there's a problem you need to investigate, nice graphs for your ops team or your management, all that kind of stuff.
So how does it work? I order some servers from Dell and I put them in my rack, then what?
Okay, so first of all, you're going to need Foreman somewhere, right? Foreman is a Ruby on Rails application, so it needs to live on the network somewhere. And we have little pieces of Ruby code called the Foreman proxy. We put those on the services that need managing. So DNS, DHCP, these things, we put little proxies out there. That gives us a consistent API to talk to, allows us to scale out nicely. So you still only need one single Foreman, one source of truth on your network. So we have a rack of hardware. Now you have two approaches. Physical servers are an interesting use case because we never know the MAC addresses in advance, right? If I talk to Libvirt, I can get a MAC address back. So you could either write those MAC addresses down, put them in Foreman, or we have a plugin called Discovery, which gives you a kind of a metal as a service approach where we can boot them into a RAM disk and get the MAC addresses ourselves. Either way, there's some registration process, right? So you either do that yourself or you do it via a plugin. And now we manage the rest of the process. So in Foreman, you say, I want to provision this machine. It's going to have CentOS on it. And I want it to use this kickstart template and this disk layout and go. And as soon as you hit go, Foreman's going to hop out. And important to say, every part of Foreman is optional. So maybe you've enabled DNS and DHCP. So we go out. We say, OK, I know my MAC address. I can go to the DHCP server and get an IP back. Now I can write a reservation. That host is always going to get that IP. I can go to the TFTP server. I can write some Pixie code so that it boots into the correct installer. I can go to the DNS server and write a DNS record for my new hostname. And now it boots up into the unattended, goes through the unattended install, finishes that, tells Foreman it's done. We take away that Pixie code, replace it with local boot, and it comes back up into the network. And then you hand it off to Puppet or Ansible or whatever.
And the same sort of configuration for AWS.
Right, exactly. One of the nice things about Foreman is that UI doesn't change. You're still filling out most of the fields, but as soon as you say, I'm not doing physical now, I'm doing AWS, a lot of those fields in the network-specific tab will disappear. And instead you're going to say, okay, this IMI in this region, and everything else is the same, right? So the UI remains consistent. That's good for your junior ops people, good for your processes, all that kind of thing.
And then what comes on top of Foreman?
On top of Foreman, that's an interesting question. I'm struggling to see where you're going with this.
Right, if you've got integration with Ansible, then why would I need Ansible if I've got Foreman?
Because Foreman won't take actions. That's the point. Foreman sits there as a central point of truth and a way to drive things like configuration management systems, but it itself has no configuration management built in. So I can say, okay, I could manage my Ansible roles by hand, or I could import them into the Foreman UI and allow people to assign them to hosts and run them from there. But you're still running Ansible at the end of the day. It's just a different way of interacting with it. And so it's a question of what you need out of your infrastructure. If you're happy with doing everything on the command line, then you don't need Foreman to handle that part of it. And you can turn it off. I mean, everything in Foreman is optional. But if you do want to be able to do that from a nice UI and maybe build up things like host groups so you can group similar servers together with the same things, then maybe this is something you want to look at.
Okay, excellent. So what is the history of the project? What's the license, for example?
License is mostly GPL. Obviously, there's been contributions. And because it's a Rails project, you end up with plugins from different places and so on. But it's mainly GPL, V3. And the project's about 7 years old. It was started by my manager, Ohad Levy. And he has taken that over the last few years and grown it. We've grown it into a large team at Red Hat, mostly. I mean, it's fully open to contributions from the community, of course, as you would expect from a Red Hat project. But it's fair to say most of the development is paid for by Red Hat. And we're probably, I don't know how many people these days. it's important to say Foreman plus one of the larger plugins forms the upstream of Red Hat Satellite 6. So if you're familiar with Satellite 6, you're already familiar with Foreman, even if you maybe don't know it. So that's where it came from. It grew out of a need that OHAD had. That's a really bad phrase. And he took it from there. He joined Red Hat. They saw the value and grew it from there.
Excellent. So what milestones do we have last year?
Successes.
That's a really good question because fantastic. So probably the most valuable thing we did last year was that almost exactly a year ago, we met up with the Puppet guys. We've been trying to get Puppet 4 support into Foreman for quite a long time. And we met with the Puppet guys, we hashed out a roadmap, and within about 3 months, by our birthday in July, we'd actually got a release out with full Puppet 4 support in it, which made the community very happy. We've been waiting 18 months for that. Also, one of our community contributors, a guy called Timo Goebel, he contributed a full IPv6 stack to it as well, so we now have proper IPv6 support throughout the project. So, I say full. Obviously, there's some edge cases, things like TFTP is kind of an IPv4 thing and so on, but you know, you can assign IPv6 addresses, get them from an IPv6 system, and pretty much everything you want to do with IPv6 is supported. So.
And this year, what are we looking at going forward? Are there going to be any meetups?
There's meetups in the next few days, actually, because we've got Config Camp next week. We'll probably do something around our birthday again. Nothing concrete yet, but we had a really good run of about 7 or 8 events within the space of a month around our birthday last year. I'd love to do that again. In terms of milestones, 1.15 will be out in a couple of months. That's got a new notifications framework in it, which is going to be lovely. I'm really interested to see what plugin maintainers do with this and what sort of notifications they want to give to users. Beyond that, it's hard to say. We don't really do roadmaps, so it's whatever lands in there.
Anything else we missed, or have we covered it all?
I think we've got most of it, to be quite honest. A shout out to Catello, our sister plugin that forms part of Satellite 6, and to all of the community who are absolutely fantastic. We wouldn't be where we are without them.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, and thanks for taking the time.
Thank you.